This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Guy we haven't really talked about since they signed him. Incredibly important position. Drew Dolman.
The Bears actually have a true center. He's smaller than I thought he'd be. Maybe it's because Tooney's big and Jonah Jackson's looks enormous out there. But that offensive line seems to be coming together. Ben Johnson doesn't want to get too far ahead of himself, but I think we're all seeing what we're seeing here. There's one spot open. It's on the left side. The rest of the spots are kind of solidified, especially in the middle there with Tooney, Dolman, and Jonah Jackson.
Those are the pleasant sounds of the Hogue and Johns podcast. They are our next guests as we go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. They are the Adams. It is Adam Hogue. It is Adam Johns. They are the Hogue and Johns podcast. And they are together, not physically next to each other, but they are on your Twitch screen, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And congratulations to Adam Johns going over to CHGO. The only element of John Greenberg's survey I voted for was the bonus question about being happy about you going. So I just want you to know I voted for you and you only. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I know John takes a lot of pride in that survey. He hasn't done it in a few years, I think. But thank you. I'm excited. Officially now under the same umbrella as Adam Hogue here, my partner. I feel like we've been working together forever, but now we're officially at the same place. It feels great.
How much fun do you guys have doing the content that you do? And now that you're kind of embarking on a different chapter of the same book, how much more fun do you think you're going to have?
Well, I think I get to annoy him a lot more now. Like all my text messages used to go to Kevin Fishbane at The Athletic. We're talking all hours, different story ideas, different complaints, different things that come to mind. Now he's going to get them times two because I was already doing that a little bit before, but yeah, you know, I'm kidding around here. We're good friends to begin with. We have fun doing this. We're both from Chicago. We know what it's like to grow up here. So I think that makes our show kind of special. But yeah, now he gets to get all my text messages and complaints that come at all hours of the day.
Yeah, I got one of those last night. I was all done with my long day of work. It was like 6 o'clock. Hey, I need you to read this column. So I'll get used to that. No, I think like when you put it in perspective, what we've built with the show, despite the fact that we've never actually worked together, the fact that now we're under the same umbrella and we'll be working closer together on a daily basis will only make all of it even bigger and better. So we're excited about that.
When is the first episode dropping, or has it already?
It drops Monday. So I know people are itching for it because this is definitely probably the longest hiatus we've ever had to take. Part of it was just normal vacation time that we take this time of year, but it takes a lot to move and migrate a show and a YouTube channel. And we got a lot of awesome people behind the scenes working on all that right now. So I appreciate everybody being patient. The good news is for everybody that watches and listens, you don't have to do anything. Once it's all sorted out, it's the same podcast feed. It's the same YouTube channel. And so we'll be back officially on Monday, recording Monday morning. We'll get it out to you probably lunchtime or so. And for the most part, it's just the same. It's the same show, just under, you know, new partnership with CHGO.
I know your opinions will evolve as we get more news about what's going on as training camp breaks and we figure out who's doing what. But just the reaction I want right now is about this Shamar Turner, according to Ian Rappaport, coming to terms as a second-round pick. And I'm very confident that as long as the Bears look at what everybody else is doing, they're going to have the other picks in the fold, the second-round picks, I'm saying, by the end of the weekend. And that should be good for everybody.
I think I look at this a couple of ways. It's good news. Well, for the second round picks, the players should stand their ground on a few things. And I kind of like this trend because there's not much bargaining that can be done left in this collective bargain agreement that the players have. So good for the second round picks for standing their ground and getting something new and maybe setting a trend going forward. For the Bears, they have 3 second round picks. So you want them all in the building on day one, especially your left tackle who's in a competition to start next to all those offensive linemen you heard kind of previewing our segment here. So it's good news, I think, for the players overall, the second round picks, and it's good news for the Bears, obviously, with the 3 second round picks.
Our segment with Adam Hoges and Adam Johns is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I'm sorry, Hoger. Didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, no, get those dental implants.
teeth are good.
I wish my teeth were better than they are. Look, I did some digging on this yesterday, guys. I'm not surprised to see the Turner news come out. And my guess would be here that Ozzie Trapillo would follow shortly here too, because they were drafted so close to each other. There's a couple interesting wrinkles to this. The theory that seems to be out there in NFL circles is really like Tyler Shuck is the one to watch here, because he's a quarterback, because not only is he a quarterback, he's got a very good chance to actually be the Saints starter this year, because they're not a very good football team. And so if there's anybody that has an argument to get fully guaranteed money, at some point in the second round, there's going to be a cutoff spot. And maybe it's that spot. It may, you know, that's the theory out there. But when you look at where Ozzie and Turner were drafted, it was later in the second round. So you can kind of already assume that that cutoff point's going to happen before you get to those slots in the draft. And so that's why I'm not surprised to see guys on the back end of the second round. I think you'll start to see budge here a little bit. But the interesting part, obviously, is that Luther Burden was drafted right ahead of Tyler Shuck. So he's really the one to watch in all this, in my opinion. And so if there is a hiccup with any of these guys not showing up on time, it might be that one. But I'm still relatively optimistic that, you know, even a worst case scenario, this is not going to be something that I foresee, you know, lingering long into camp.
I do think, though, outside of Shuck Adams, that it's rare you get to say
the
that
multiple rare, Adams. I love it, Adam.
It's rare you get to say that. No, but outside of Shuck, I think Ozzie Trapillo might have the best chance just because of the individual need that the Bears have here. You're talking about what could be your starting left tackle, at least to begin the season. They need him. Like, he could actually, based on that value alone, really be in a positive position for himself.
He strikes me, though, as a player who doesn't want to miss any minute, any second that he can be in Hallis Hall. Just hearing him talk in his news conferences, just doing some background research on him. He's the type of guy who understands the business side of this. Like, there's a reason why he's not signed, but he wants to get down to business as soon as he can. He knows he's in a competition. He knows he might have the lead on this. Who knows if Braxton Jones is going to be ready as training camp opens next week. I don't think he's going to be ready. He could be limited. So Ozzie Trapillo, he has a great opportunity in front of him to really secure or really take a couple steps ahead of Braxton Jones upon his return, solidify that second spot. So I get your point, but Ozzie Trapillo strikes me as a player who's he could be already in town just waiting to get to Hallis Hall when rookies report on Saturday.
Also, isn't it the case that Ozzie Trapillo, I mean, now that we know Alfred Collins didn't get the 100%, but I mean, he got it way more than last year. I mean, he's definitely not getting the 100%. It's just, it seems like towards the back half of the draft that those guys are going to get increases from year over year from their same spot last year, but it's not going to be nearly as high as what we're seeing at the top half of the second round.
Right, and that's where, you know, what I was saying earlier, there's just where that cutoff point comes, and it's not really a black and white line either. Like, there's going to be some gray area. This one gets this percentage of the guarantees, but it'll be gradual. Again, that we go through this every year. I mean, since the CBA, what now, 14 years ago, I think it is, when all this stuff started getting slotted in the draft, and, you know, those number one overall picks stopped getting this crazy amount they ever did before ever playing a snap in the NFL. This stuff, they're haggling over such minor details. Again, last year, Caleb Williams, it came right down to like the day before camp or whatever, and then it was all fine. And I think that that's ultimately how this goes too.
I just want to add, like, there's some organizations, like you mentioned the Saints, that are like historically just stubborn and they won't budge on certain things. I don't think Ryan Poles, at least his operation, I haven't seen that. They're willing to find middle ground, whereas some of these other teams across the league, they just won't move on things just because that's how they've done business for years, and they're not going to set any trends, not only amongst other teams league-wide, but, you know, with themselves going forward.
We're talking to Adam Hoge and Adam Johns at CHGO, the Hoge and Johns podcast here in Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And since we have you on, we have not talked to you as a show since Ryan Poles' contract extension. I know you guys sat down with him also at the owners' meetings. I thought that that was a really good episode of the pod. What's your impression of just that deal getting done and what it means for the team?
I've said this a few times, but it's great to see the Bears, well, kind of acting like a serious football operation, like a serious football organization. And I don't mean this to be like funny, but we've seen it so many times where the most important people in their organization, I'm talking the quarterback, the head coach, and the GM, they're just not aligned. Forget philosophically, like Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson says they are, but contractually. And that leads to friction. It leads to extra storylines. It leads to power struggles. That's not going to exist right now. Maybe there's some disagreements. That's what football is. That's what, you know, building a team is all about. But I think it's a great sign that the Bears are moving ahead with them together. There's no extra intrigue. There's no extra infighting that needs to happen, knowing that they're contractually aligned, not just philosophically.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is they still haven't done this in the correct order. The orders here still goes GM, team president, quarterback, head coach. That's how those four have come into the organization. So they still, but at least they're not completely backwards like they used to be. And the thing is, they're getting this lined up, because so you can have, you know, really, we make fun of that, but very few organizations actually do hire everybody in the right order. And so at least seem to be philosophically, and now we know they're contractually aligned, and the only one who's technically not on that alignment is Caleb, because he's off a year just because of, you know, you can't control that. That's just the way the rookie deals go. But I do get the sense here that, you know, if you want to have a conversation about whether or not Ryan Poles deserves the extension, I can hear you out on that. But I do think the more important thing here is to avoid the situations the team has been in the past, where they're just, okay, now we need a new GM. Oh, that guy doesn't like this quarterback. So now we need a quarterback. And it's just, you got to get everything aligned so they're all seeing the same thing.
Rookie set to report on Saturday, talking to Adam Johns, Adam Hogue, about that from the Hogue and Johns podcast. Guys, I want to know your thoughts on Colston Loveland and where he is, given that he has not been on the field doing things because of that shoulder. And he says his shoulder is good to go, but it seems like a very TBD type situation. How much do they need him to be ready sooner rather than later?
Where is he? I think last we saw he was in a water park swimming, catching.
Already doing
community service, yes.
Yeah, good. I think that's the first time I saw interviews conducted in an indoor water park with like a professional athlete. I can't think of another one, at least in this town. So he's setting trends. That's what he's doing. He's catching footballs at the wilderness. I don't even know where he was, but good for him for getting out there. I think the best sign of Colston Loveland in terms of being ready was towards the end of the offseason program, where you saw him go off to the opposite fields, the other fields that Hal saw, apart from his team, and work with the trainers. Like going through a pretty thorough workout, just in terms of ramping him up, getting him ready for his eventual return in training camp. So to me, I see that as a positive step. I see him being active in the community as a positive step. If he was hurt, I don't know if he's doing such things. So I think he's going to be out there next week. I think he's going to be ready to go. I think the Bears hope he is. They're playing this safe, but until we actually see him catching passes from Caleb Williams, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I just want to see him ready to go for that first padded practice. You know, and Johns has used the phrase ramping up, which is, you know, something Matt Eberflus love to say, and I think that these are the types of little things we're going to learn about Ben Johnson here, though, coming up here too, because you know, different coaches have different thoughts on how much time guys need. Like, are they going to throw Colston Loveland in the fire right away? I don't know. What I do know is he is starting a little bit behind here. I mean, there's no question about it, because what we saw in the offseason program, you know, they were throwing a lot at these guys. There's a lot of shifts, a lot of motions, a lot of things you got to know. You got to be lined up in the right spot. Cole Kmet's getting yelled at by the head coach at one point. He's the same position. So these are all things that, like, you can do all the mental prep you want, but you got to, until you do it in practice, you are starting behind. And it's the same thing for Luther Burden, who missed all that time. Now, with Loveland, too, the other thing that when I brought up the pads, it's because, you know, that was a shoulder injury. So he's been able to do conditioning and all this stuff, but what is the blocking going to look like? And quite frankly, I thought he looked a little thin with the eye test, you know, just come the first time we got to see him out there on the field a little bit. So I do think he's got a little bit more bulking up to do, and I'm very curious to see when those pads go on, how he fares against some of these bigger defensive ends he's going to have to block.
We're talking to Adam Hogan, Adam Johns, the Hogan John podcast here on 670 The Score, talking Bears, which is a nice change of pace. Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you about, was Luther Burden, just because he's very much a question mark when it comes to a second round pick, of course, when it comes to his health. So how do you think he's going to be able to fit in here? Do you think we're going to see him on Saturday, or do you think there's a possibility that because of this second round draft pick issue that we're seeing in the league, do you think he might be one of those guys that maybe won't be there?
Oh, we'll see. I think he needs to be there. I think if there's one rookie who may have fell behind during the offseason program, it's probably him, and it's not his fault. He got hurt, but as I was just saying about Colston Loveland, by the end of the offseason program, Colston Loveland was doing some things in the field. Luther Burden was nowhere to be seen, and this could be a pretty complex offense for any rookie to learn. So to have him be behind not only DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and maybe even Tyler Scott right now in the depth chart, and have to learn that slot position, which we know is an important position in Ben Johnson's offense. Just look at what St. Brown did in Detroit. There's a lot on Luther Burden's table. So on his plate, I should say. So we'll see. I would expect him to be out there and ready. I would expect the safe approach to pay off for the Bears, but it's one of those wait and see things right now.
Yeah, I'm a big first impressions guy. I've talked a lot about that over the years, you know, kind of feeling the vibes early on with rookies especially. And I think the vibes early on with Luther Burden have not been great. I mean, just the fact that we haven't been able to see him. This is a guy that, you know, and I think it's fair to talk about, part of his scouting profile when the Bears drafted him, part of the reason why he fell to the second round is because there were questions about his work ethic at Missouri, about him being more of a weekday player, a guy who shows up to practice, guy who puts in all that work and doesn't just show up on Saturdays to play. Now, I know the Bears felt like the value where they drafted him was the talent there was good enough. I know Antoine Randall-El is excited to get after him and start coaching him. And it's not exactly apples to apples, but he had a challenge with Jameson Williams in Detroit. And so did Ben Johnson, obviously, with similar type of player, where you could even see it like during the Bears game when they were playing last year, where they kind of had to reel him in at times. But the good news is we always saw they were able to harness that talent at times and get him the football and get some explosive plays. So I do think he's going to be a little bit behind here, but if he gets healthy, even despite being behind, I feel like Ben Johnson, Antoine Randall-El, these coaches are going to find a way to get the ball in the most talented player's hands. So there's still a role for him. Even if his snap count's not super high early on in the season, they'll find a way to get him the football.
Thank you so much to Adam Hogan, Adam Johns. The Hogan Johns podcast is now with CHGO. We appreciate you guys taking the time, and congratulations again, Adam Johns.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to everyone on Monday.
Indeed, we will. Your time off is over.
They're dropping that pod, and it's going to be back into the fold.
Training camp is here, almost.